Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the songs, Lord God, that you let us sing before thee, unto thee, Lord God. Just have your way. Continue to move in the service, Lord. Let your divine will be done, Lord. Thank you for this morning service, Lord. But move again tonight, Lord. We claim the victory. We claim the peace of God. Thank you for victory, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, tonight, we're going to go to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. But before we go there, I want to read a scripture in Judges. Because the book of Ruth, that story of the book of Ruth was in the time of the judges. So I want to read Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 16. Judges 2, verses 7 through 16. Yeah. Amen. God is good. Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 16. This is to get the setting for the book of Ruth. All right, what does it say? You got it? Judges 2, verses 7 through 16. Amen. After Raphael. Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of the spoiler, that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about. So they that could not any longer stand before their enemies, wheresoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said. As the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them.
Amen. 16. The Lord raised up judges. Because, see the people, God had blessed Moses. Moses was a prophet of God. Moses led the children of Israel. Led them into the land. Well, he was carrying them to the land of Canaan, but he didn't make it, right? He didn't quite make it. But Joshua carried them on in. But in the time of the judges, it says how that the people, Joshua's generation, the people knew God and they served God. After that generation, they served God. But after that, the next generation, they didn't know God. They didn't know about God. They didn't know about God's word. What happened? Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody let down the standard. God has a standard. And God's standard is holiness. And God's not going to lower his standard for nobody, is he? And we've got to come up to God's standard. So these people, see, God loves us, but God will chastise us when we get out of line. Isn't that right? So after Joshua died and a few generations died out, the people didn't know God, they began to do evil in the sight of God. Worship idol gods. Isn't that something? They knew that God was the only true God. They had all the mighty works they had seen God do. Yet and still, they turned away from God. They turned their back on God. And God brought the enemies in, didn't he? God brought in the enemies to overtake them. And then God raised up judges to deliver his people. He raised up judges to deliver his people. That is when they would cry out to God. See, that they would get in trouble by doing evil. And then the enemy would overtake them and they would cry out to God. Isn't that something? We're living in the end time, saints. We're living in the last of the last days. And today, as I heard Brother Doug say, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. It's happening today. It's happening today. So, the book of Ruth, which we're going to look at tonight, beginning in chapter 1. This happened in the days of the judges. See, it was several judges, wasn't it? Gideon was a judge, and Gideon was one, and Shimei. It was quite a few judges. But anyway, what we're bringing out tonight is that in the days of the judges, look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. This is where we're going to start tonight. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. What does it say?
Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that was a famine in the land.
Uh-huh.
A certain man of Bethlehem,
Judea,
went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons.
All right. They went, they were in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, house of bread, Judah, Bethlehem, Judah. Judah means praise. They were in the house of bread and praise. A famine came in the land, and they left. They left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to Moab. And God didn't speak too good about Moab. They went to Moab. All right, read the days when the judges ruled were dark days. In one sense, that they were the darkest days in the history of the nation of Israel. Israel had been in Egypt, right? Stayed down there. But God brought them out, didn't he? But God's people suffered mightily in the land of Egypt through Pharaoh. But God brought them out. God's faithful and true. They were in captivity. And God had redeemed them by blood and by power and had brought them through the wilderness. Hallelujah. See, God spoke to Abraham. God said to Abraham, said, leave your household, leave your country and your household to a land I'm going to show you. Isn't that right? Yeah. And Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he believed God. He followed God. He walked by faith. And God led him to the land of Cana. Amen. God led to the land of Cana. Now, these people left. They left their land and went into Moab. Abraham, let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Begin at verse 1. Abraham, after God led Abraham to the land of Cana, Abraham, that came of famine, there, and Abraham left his land. Let's read that. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1.
Now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred
Uh-huh. I'm going to show you a land. Follow me. And he did, didn't he? Read on. I'll make of thee a great nation.
And I will bless thee and make thy name great.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee.
Amen.
And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
And thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All right. Read on.
But Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Abram.
Mm-hmm.
And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother, Sarah, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the soul that they had gotten.
Went to the land of Canaan, all right.
And into the land of Canaan,
they came to the land of Canaan. They walked by faith, and God led them to the land of Canaan. What happened there?
And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem,
yeah, huh?
Unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed,
yes, hallelujah.
Yeah.
I still didn't get the scripture I wanted. Let's see. It's the 12th chapter, but I'm going to look at for the famine. What had a famine there?
Oh, 10.
All right, go ahead.
There was a famine in the land.
And what happened?
Abraham
left. He left Canaan and went to Egypt. And we don't find out why God told him to do that.
He
to sojourn there. He went to the land of Egypt, leaving just like this other family here that we're reading about, how they left Bethlehem, Judah, and went into the land of Moab. All right? Stop right there. That's good. Then God brought them into the promised land. You would think that this new generation now. This is the new generation because God had to kill out everything. You know, all those unbelievers, remember? The ones that didn't believe God, God killed them all out. Only Joshua and Caleb were the two originals that went in, that started out, went in. Is that right?
Amen.
Isn't that something? Only two. Only two out of all the people. God killed out a lot of folks for hard-headedness, disobedience, stubbornness. God doesn't play, does he? God love us. He really love us. But when we start disobeying God know how. He know how to get a hold to us, doesn't he? Amen. Yes, he does, because he loves us. He don't want to see us go at breakneck speed in the wrong direction. So he had us off. He put on brakes for us. We'd be running, and all of a sudden, amen. God knows how to do that, doesn't he?
Amen.
He knows how. God is good. We're serving a mighty God tonight, aren't we? What does this say here? Deuteronomy 4:7. What does that say? Tell me who have a God like our God.
Nobody
do. Amen. Nobody have a God. We have the only true God, the holy God, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. But they were hard-headed. They were hard-headed. The book of Judges tells a sorry story of departing from God and how a people began by serving the living and true God, then turned from him into idolatry and moral corruption.
Amen.
Then how they cried out to the Lord and God brought up the judge, all right? Now, during the period of compromise, corruption and confusion, this lovely story takes place. It's in the days when the judges ruled the place of Bethlehem, Judea. And we told you what, you know, it's the city of bread and praise. My. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ would never have been. No, that's not the one. All right. The meaning of Bethlehem, Judea, And I told you that, didn't I? So let's go on. The story of Ruth begins there and ends there, and Jesus was born there, right? Bethlehem? Isn't that right? Bethlehem, Judah? Isn't that right? Matthew chapter 2. What does that say? Still, read that for me. Just begin at verse 1. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, it had to come to me. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." He was born in Bethlehem of Judah, isn't that right? All right, let's go on. And a certain man, read verse 2 of Ruth chapter 1. Back to Ruth chapter 1. What does it say? Hallelujah. 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 Glory. God is so good, isn't it? Yeah.
And Naomi had a kinsman.
No. Wait a minute. I got ahead of myself. 1 verse 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. What does it say?
Chilion. Mm-hmm.
Help him out there. What does it say? All right. Is that the end of that verse? All right, stop right there. And they came to the land of Moab and did what? What does it say? Come on, read. And they came to the land of Moab and did what? Stop right there. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. He was living in the house of bread and prayed, but goes to sojourn in the country of Moab. Read Psalms 108, verse 9. And talking about Moab. Psalms 108, verse 9. Well, your fingers not going to get stiff tonight. Hallelujah. What does it say? Yeah.
Moab is my washpot.
Mm-hmm.
Over Edom will I cast out my shoes. Over Philistine will I trumpet.
Hallelujah. Now see here, Moab is my washpot. God didn't speak too good about Moab, but they went to Moab, didn't they? These people were an outcast. The people of Moab was an outcast. They had a very sorry beginning. We could say Moab is God's garbage can, so to speak. All right? Cast out. This family leaves the house of bread and prays and goes over to eat out of a garbage can, so to speak. I mean, wash pot. I mean, hallelujah. Listen, Jesus told us about a prodigal son, didn't he? Luke 15, 18. What does it say? Let's read that. This was a prodigal family. They left their home and went to Moab, went to a city that where they shouldn't have been. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They left the house of bread and the praise and went to Moab, God's wash pot. Hallelujah. And Jesus told a story about the prodigal, didn't he? Luke 15, 18. What does it say? Yeah.
I will arise and go to my father.
Wait a minute. Is that what that verse say?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. All right. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Amen, yes. After the prodigal son, we know about him, don't we? How that, this man had two sons, and when I'm saying to his father, say, so Father, give me my portion of the goods. And he gave him his portion of the goods, and he went out into a far country, didn't he? And he just messed his money up. And when he messed his money up, he didn't have any friends. See, last time, if you got money, you have associates anyway. It might not be real friends, but you have people to hang around with, won't you? They'll hang with you. If you got money, a lot of them will hang. But that money run out, well, they stop hanging, don't they? They move out. And that's what happened to the prodigal son. He went out into this far country, and things looked good to him, and he spent all his money, and hallelujah, and he was hungry. He was hungry. And those so-called friends fled. And he got so hungry until he began to feed somebody's swines, didn't he? He began to feed hogs and eat the husk. He ate the husk. And he was in his hog pen, and he came to himself. We have to come to ourselves sometimes. No, we need to come to ourselves many times. Amen. He came to himself, and he said, what am I doing here? My father have servants. He have stuff to spare. I mean, he didn't say stuff, but he have a lot of things. He have plenty. What it said. He have plenty. And here I am, and I'm getting up. I'm going home. Isn't that right? He got up, and he went home. But as he approached the house, he was intending to tell his daddy that I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant. But the heart of the father loved him, didn't he? And that father looked for him. You know, he was praying for him and yearning for him to come home and watching for him, thank God, to come home. And he came, this boy came to himself, and he was on his way home, and that father looked and saw him afar off and ran to him. Isn't that right? He didn't sit around moping. He ran to him, fell on his neck and began to kiss him. And he made a feast for him, the prodigal. Hallelujah. You know, God really wants us to love him first of all and love one another. He really does. And I've been asking God to really help me to love more like I should love. Amen? I've been asking this because I know I fall short when it comes to reaching out in love like I should, but I don't want to fall short. I want to love like Jesus loved. Isn't that right? I really do. I mean, I only God can help us do this. But he God wants us to do it. He tells us to be tenderhearted and kind one to another, doesn't he? Love one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have also loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, by what? By you loving one another. Shall all men know? They're going to know. Hallelujah. By this, they're going to know, thank God. But they're going to know that you're my children. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. By this. Because Jesus manifested the love of God, didn't he? He loved. Jesus hung out with publicans and sinners, didn't he? And the Pharisees and Sadducees thought themselves, oh, look here, this man can't be right. He's over with that bunch of sinners. But what did Jesus come for? Amen. He came to seek and to save the lost, didn't he? Amen. And he came to reveal or manifest God to us. Didn't he do a good job? Yes, he did. Jesus never fails. Jesus is faithful. He's true and holy. And we want to follow him. Not at a distance, but closely. As we remember the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him. Did Paul know the Lord? Yes, certainly he knew him. But he wanted a more intimate walk with God. He wanted a closer walk with God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. may conform unto his death. And the Apostle Paul was a man that just laid his life on the line, didn't he? I mean, for Jesus. He didn't pull no punches, didn't hold back, but he lived a holy, pure, godly life, didn't he? But he was fought for it. Amen. I mean, if the devil don't never fight you, something wrong, isn't it? If you don't never have no battle with the devil, something wrong with you. You better believe it. Amen. Because if you really follow the Lord, you got an adversary, you got an enemy. You have got the devil to fight. Isn't that right? Yep. Better believe it. Thank God. We're living in the end time. And now this prodigal son, God brought him back to his senses. God shook him up. God know how to shake us up. Thank God. God, hallelujah. God know how to shake us up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Where am I at here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here's the story of a prodigal family. When famine came to the land, they left. Our father Abraham did the same thing, didn't he? Remember, we just read about Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 10, we read that. This family didn't believe that God could take care of them in the house of bread and praise, so they ran off to the land of Moab. God wants us to trust him, doesn't he? Yes. When things look rough, he wants us to trust him. When things look good, he wants us to trust him. Isn't that right? Yes. Obey him. Yes. Trust him. Wait on him. Believe him. Hallelujah. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And he talked about his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the... All right, listen at this now. And the name... and thank you, Jesus. The name of the man is Elimelech. His name means, my God is king. Will y'all listen at this now? Will you all listen at this here? Elimelech was the man... his name means, my God is king. He must not have really believed it at that time, did he? My God is king, or the king is my God. His very name is a testimony. Isn't that right? My. It's mighty bad, though, he had his name and ran off to Moab. He does not act like God is his king. Listen at this now. The name of his wife is Naomi. Her name means pleasant. Pleasant. She was the type of a person that always had a very happy outlook upon life. We Christians today should always see the bright side. Isn't that right? We should be able to see the bright side. You know why? We should keep eyes on the Lord. Isn't that right? We should keep our eyes on the Lord, and we should see the bright side. We should always live above our circumstances instead of being under our circumstances. Is that right? Elimelech and Naomi had two sons. Their names were Mahlon and Chilion. The name of Mahlon means unhealthy, and Chilion means puny. My. Isn't that sad? Why you name somebody? Why you gonna name your children unhealthy and puny? I mean, that's sad. Are you asking for trouble? Yeah, aren't you? Yeah, just like some years ago, we had a dog, got him as a puppy, and then some fella we knew, he said, name him Trouble. And we were silly enough to do that. And that dog was Trouble, too. He lived up to it. I mean, we knew better than name something Trouble. You don't want trouble, do you? We're not looking for trouble, although trouble come our way. But when we're living for God and trusting him and obeying him, he'll take us through one. Jesus said, you know, if we could just realize and hear this scripture and believe it and take it to heart. I mean, all scriptures, but I'm saying, Jesus, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can we believe that? What does that mean? He's with us all the time. You say, well, I'm going through a deep valley. He's with you. Isn't that right? Yes. Hallelujah. So, well, I need some money to pay my bill. But he's with you. Isn't that right? And God will provide. He'll provide. And sometimes he waits until, my, until you have to start biting your fingernails, so to speak. Isn't that right? Well, no, where is it coming from this time? But God always comes through for his people, doesn't it? God is a faithful God. He's a holy God. He's a pure God. He's righteous. And he never fails. Amen? Amen. So they named these sons unhealthy and puny. So they was asking for trouble. They was asking for trouble. Amen. They had two sick boys. All right. Ruth chapter 1, verse 3, what does it say? Ruth chapter 1, verse 3.
And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons.
They moved to far country and they had trouble. Whenever we get out of the will of God and go to a far country, we always have trouble. Just like the prodigal son did. And just like Jonah. Remember Jonah? God told him to go to Nineveh and preach, didn't he? But Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarsus. He tried to, but he couldn't make it, could he? When they threw him overboard, he went on to Nineveh, and he made it in a very short time, didn't he? I mean, he put speed on it. Amen. Verse 4, Ruth 1, verse 4.
And he took them wives, all the women of Moab, the name of the one was
Ophrah,
the name of the other Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And they dwelled there about 10 years.
All right, read Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 and 4. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. 23,
Deuteronomy 23,
verses 3 and 4.
An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation.
Amen. I'm talking about the Moabites. The Moabites. But see, God works miracles, doesn't he? God works miracles. Amen. All right. That's good. Ophrah means dear or fawn. It means she was athletic type. She was an athletic type. Ruth means friendship. It means beauty. It means personality. She was beautiful. She is a remarkable person. She is one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ. In other words, in his humanity, he had... Ruth married Mahlon in the land of Moab. Ophrah married... Ruth married Mahlon and Ophrah married Chilion. All right? Now, this prodigal family is in the far country and trouble has come to them. Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons have married women of Moab. I said, boy, I tell you, they was in a mess. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. Her husband died, then her two sons died in a far country. And the woman was left of her two, and her husband. Well, they died. She was left without them, but it is. Unhealthy and puny was not able to make it through another hard winter. Amen. I mean, the widows came and they was unhealthy. One was unhealthy, one was puny, so they died. They both died. Now she has lost her entire family and all she has left are the two little daughter-in-laws, foreign girls, that's all she had in this earth, on this earth. Trouble had come. The prodigal family, like the prodigal son, got their whipping in the far country. Let's stay close to the Lord, saints. Let's walk close to God. Amen. The devil is out there to knock us off or to cool us off. Hallelujah. But we the Bible say, what? Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen. Like Pastor Benjamin was saying this morning, we want to see the backside of the devil, don't we? We want to see that sapsucker running. We do. We want to see him run in. If we walk close to God, we can see. We can do that, can't we? We can see that. But that's by walking close to the Lord, letting God. See, God is our deliverer. He's our protector. He's our shield. Isn't that right? It's not. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Hallelujah. Ruth 1 verse 6. Read the sixth verse.
Then she will go up with her daughters in law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread.
The famine was over back in the promised land, and that there was bread again in Bethlehem, the house of bread and praise. Just like the prodigal son arose and went back to his father's house, at last this prodigal family, Naomi, wants to return home. Amen. She had all this trouble over there. She wanted to go back home. Do you blame her? No. Naomi said she's going back to Bethlehem, Judah, house of bread and praise. Verse 7, read it. Amen. Amen. Naomi tells her two daughter-in-laws, because they are Moabites, it's going to cost them something to go up to Jerusalem. The Moabites and the Israelites have no dealings unless God would work a miracle. They would never be able to marry again, and they were young women. Verse 8. No. She had a good word for them. They had been good daughter-in-laws. It's hard for a mother to feel that. Any girl is worthy of a son. But here is one. They could say these foreign girls had been good wives. But she encouraged them to go. Listen at this now. Listen at this. She encouraged them to go back to their own mothers and not to go up with her because of what it would cost them. Verse 9.
The Lord bring you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they looked up their voice and wept.
Oh, they wept again. My. Naomi tells them that if they stay in the land of Moab, they can remarry among their own people. There they stand, and they are weeping. Verse 10.
They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto
Now, the first discussion was, we'll go with you. Verse 11.
And Naomi said, turn again, my daughter. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband?
The Masan. All right. Is it more to that verse?
No, that's it.
Well, good. The Masonic law said that when a man died, the nearest of kin was to marry his wife, and if there was a brother, he was the one to marry her. This was a strange law, and we'll see it later on here in the book of Ruth, because this is the story of the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer. Naomi, she tells them, if you go with me, you can never be married. My people couldn't identify themselves with you. It'd be costly, what she's telling them. It would really be outcast because we don't have any dealings with the Moabites. Verse 12.
Turn again, my daughter. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons.
Naomi urges them to stay in their own land. She said, even if I had more sons, in other words, you couldn't marry them. You'd be too old for them. Verse 13.
Will you tarry for them till they were grown? Will you stay for them from having husband? Nay, my daughter, for it grieved me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord was gone out against me.
But God had judged Naomi's family, and she told them if they went with her, they'd have to bear that. She didn't want them to go because of that reason. Verse 14.
And they lifted up their voice and wept again.
Third time, boy, I tell you. They lifted up their voice and wept. Again, read.
And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her.
Ruth cleaved unto her. Ruth stayed with her. They weren't only going back to their family, they were going back to their gods. They had idol gods that they were worshiping. See, Orpah went back. These three women standing there weeping may not seem important, but it was very important. The decision made there will determine whether Jesus Christ, another talking about Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, all right, or not. Orpah kissed Naomi, but Ruth clung to her. Orpah turned back. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. But Orpah made a decision to go back. Her decision for God had not been heard. She goes back to idolatry. Orpah did. All right. But Ruth, I'm going to read just a few more verses and I'll be finished here. But Ruth made a decision for God. Isn't that something? She made a decision for God. So she had saw something in Naomi. She had to. See, if you're a Christian, if you're a real Christian, God's going to come out. Isn't that right? I mean, you can't be a Christian, a real Christian, and people not... A lot of times, they may not know what it is. Lots of times, you understand what I'm saying? But if you're a real Christian, God will be on display. People can see God in you or through you, can't they? They can. Hallelujah. And that's where it's supposed to be. And you don't have to go around with a sign on your back, I'm a Christian. You don't have to do that. Do you? But how do you... How do you let people, how can the world know you're Christian? Huh? How can the world know that you're Christian? Somebody tell me. Say what? Living for God, serving God, obeying God, letting your light shine before men, and that right. People know you're Christian. Amen. You better believe it. And like Brother Mike said, boy, he get a lot of flack. Amen. And you know, we do. We get a lot of flack lots of time. You know, we get around ungodly people, and they want you to do what they want you to do, and you're not going to do what they want you to do, are you? You're not going to compromise with the devil or with sin. Let them get angry with you. Well, that's right. Let them get angry. Ball you out. Some of them curse you out. Some won't even speak to you. But that's all right. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I tell you, when you're a Christian, you got to have some tough hide, haven't you? You have. I mean, you got to have what? Hide by like a rhinoceros. I mean, that tough skin. Isn't that right? You better believe it. Yes, sir. Something that's tough. Thank God. In other words, when people say a lot. Well, see, Jesus spoke about it, didn't he? Hallelujah. But they did Jesus the same way. They lied upon him, and they said a lot of evil things about him. But he lived holy. He lived pure. Amen. All right, I'm almost finished. I want to get to something here. What Ruth said to Naomi. All right, let's see here. First. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at verse. Well, we're going to read verse 16, but let me look at this here first. But Ruth made a decision for God, all right? And you'll find her mentioned in the very first chapter of the New Testament. It's Matthew. She's in the genealogy that led to Christ. Naomi wants to test her to see if she's genuine or not. You see, some people talk, won't they? All them people, some people can really talk. They'll talk from sun up to sundown sometimes. But some of them not saying that much, are they? But some of them will talk, love to talk. People love to talk. But so Ruth Naomi wanted to test her. Naomi wanted to test her to see if she's genuine or not. She told her to go back to her gods, go back to with her sister-in-law. Verse 16, read it. This is what we want to get to. In other words, stop right there for a few minutes. Don't try to get me to leave. Don't try to stop me from following you. All right? Read. Whether thou goest, I will go. In other words, where are you going? I'm going with you. I'm going to follow. I'm going to stick to you like glue.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Amen. I'm hanging up, hanging on to you. Whether thou goest, I will go. Read.
Whether
you lodge, I'm a lodge. I'm a lodge wherever you lodge. I mean, we're going to lodge. Hallelujah. I'm not going to. Thy people, read.
I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people.
Thy people shall be my people.
And thy God, my God.
And thy God, my God. Hallelujah. This lady made a decision to follow the Lord, didn't she? She really did. And that's what people need to do. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. God is calling his people to follow him closely. Closely. Amen? God wants us to follow him closely. God, you know, when Philip, hallelujah, had preached a meeting, and people got saved and got blessed and delivered. I think it was in Samaria where he preached. Samaria, I believe. But he preached. And people got saved and delivered. And right after that, God spoke to Philip and told him to go down to Gaza. Sent him out to talk to one man. You see what I'm saying? See, some people, if they don't have a crowd to preach to, I mean, we live in a time when people, they are paid to come to speak to people. Isn't that right? He said, I want you to come and preach for me, or speak for me. And say, how much you charge? They put a charge on it. Some of them do. Hallelujah. But that doesn't please the Lord. I mean, for you to be, hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, let's see what the Apostle Paul said, how that he was a humble man. And Apostle Paul said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know how these hands have worked and labored. See, Paul was a tent maker. When he wasn't doing preaching, when preaching was scarce, he wasn't preaching, but he preached, you know, no doubt he spoke to people when they come around, but he made tents. And no doubt when he made a tent for somebody, if he didn't deliver, they'd come pick it up, but Paul would witness to him, wouldn't he? I mean, in love now, in love. I mean, you don't, to witness to people, you don't just jump all over them and say, you're going to hell, you know, if you don't come on in here now. That's not the way you witness to folks, is it? You're witnessing love. The lady that they caught in adultery, what happened? They said such and one, said Moses and the law said such and one should be stoned. But what do you say? What do you say, Jesus? You think you know so much. What do you say about it? Hallelujah. And you know what Jesus did? See, Jesus know how to defeat the devil. And when we're walking close to God, we know how to defeat the devil. And you don't always have to say a lot of words to defeat the devil, do you? No, you don't. Sometimes you have to say quite a bit. But other times, you don't have to say a lot of words. And when they asked Jesus, he just stooped down and began to write on the ground with his finger. What was he writing? I don't know. See, some people feel like they know what he's writing. I don't know what he was writing. Do anybody here know what Jesus wrote on the ground? I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. But anyway, he wrote on the ground. And then he stood up. one that is without sin among you, let him cast the first. They had stones in their hand. You know that, don't you? Man, they had their... And they said in Israel, a lot of stones still lay around, they said. But they and we want to go to Israel. How many of y'all want to go to Israel? I do. Y'all want to get a load up? Yeah, we want to go to Israel. Thank God. Sister Ruth, have you ever been to Israel? You haven't? You want to go? You don't? Well, I do. You want to go to Israel? Maybe. Anyway, hallelujah. One that without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. They start dropping the stone. And all of them left, didn't they? Every one of them left. That's where you win souls. He that wins souls is wise. Isn't that right? And God wants us to have a love for souls, doesn't he? Love the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. The Lord is coming soon. He's coming soon. And let's please, saints, let's be up and about our Father's business. Let's be up daily. And let's witness whenever God gives us an opportunity. And God gives us opportunities, doesn't he? He does. He gives us opportunities to witness. And let's be led by the Spirit of God to witness to people as God gives us the opportunities. Because we're living in the end time, and we went out into the neighborhood, and let's continue to pray for the people that we talk to, and we put flyers on the doors. Let's pray for those families. And the young man that came in this morning, let's pray for him, you know. And the lady came, and let's pray for her, you know. Hallelujah. God's going to add to the church daily such as should be saved. He's going to add such as should be saved. Let me say it that way. God's going to add such as should be saved to this sanctuary, to this assembly. Amen? God's going to do it. Amen. But we're going to have to pray. Isn't that right? Let me say this. God's not going to just send them in just because we want him to. We got to do something. You know why? Because the devil Whenever you go, and wouldn't somebody, the devil's right there saying, no, you don't have to do that. You know, he's there to fight, to defeat, to hinder, to overthrow. But let's do God's will, saints. Let's do God's will. Let's praise the Lord. Let's magnify his name. Let's be like Ruth was to Naomi. For will I go, I will go. For will I lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Isn't that something? Yes. Verse 17 and 18? All right. Verse 17 and 18. Oh, yes. Thank the Lord. Boy, I tell you. Thank God for my wife, my sweetheart. Thank the Lord. 17 and 18. All right, what does verse 17 say? Yes, ma'am. Man, isn't God good? God. Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Isn't the Lord good? Amen. The Lord is so good. Amen. And let's remember, when one sinner repent, the angels in heaven rejoice. Isn't that something? I mean, I think if you're getting the angels in heaven to rejoice, I think you're doing something. I think you're going something, don't you think? My. I mean, what do they do when they rejoice? Don't ask me. I mean, I've never seen an angel, but I tell you this much. One time, I believe it was an angel present in the room. I was down in Florida, and we was standing in some people's place. A lady and a man at their house was standing out there by the waterfront. It's in Marathon, Florida, and. This lady got all upset about something, you know, saying, doing some talking. So I went in the room and closed the door and began to seek the Lord, fasting. How many days, I don't remember, but I fasted for a few days. I was drinking water and fasting. And one morning there, as I was praying, I believe an angel was there. I didn't open my eyes. But I believe the presence of an angel was in that room. And the Lord just revealed to me, you can come off the fast today. I got up and walked out of the room. This lady drove up real fast in the car, you know, drove around the corner and drove. And she there was some trash out by the waterfront. She was saying something, went out there, and she poured stuff on it and threw a match on it. We thought it was kerosene. It was gasoline that she poured on it. And when she did that, she fell back on the ground, broke her ankle. So God took care of that devil. She got quiet as a mouse. Amen? God gave us victory over that demon that was raging in her. See? But I didn't see an angel, but I believe an angel was present in that room. Amen. That morning. God is faithful. God is true. Amen. Let's trust him with all that's in us. Regardless of the circumstances, God wants us to keep our eyes on him. Isn't that right? Let's see God. Just like Ruth said, whether you go, I'll go. Whether you lodge, I will lodge. Whether you die, I will die and I'll be buried. My. What a confession. She got saved. Didn't she? My. She got saved. And the angels of heaven rejoiced when one sinner repented. Brother Doug, if you got something. So. Angels of heaven rejoiced when one sinner repented. Isn't that right? Angels in heaven rejoice. My God. My.